This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now from ESPN is Emmanuel Acho. Emmanuel, how's it going today, man?
Gentlemen, all is well. I'm just constantly on the grind like you all.
Now, I want to let you know immediately, we do have a divide between you and one of the co-hosts show.
It's going to be me.
As Kevin is an Aggie fan, and you went to UT. So
here's the thing. COVID has stopped all sports, so it has also stopped all sports rivalries.
Oh.
Okay. For the temporary moment, Kevin and I have no beef.
Hey. Just like in real life when y'all were afraid to play us.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
Everybody's a comedian, they say.
I just ruined this interview, and I apologize. To try to fix it, I do want to encourage everyone to go check out your Twitter and specifically, I mean, they should check out social media anyway, but specifically for the video that you have posted in the last day or so, can you walk us through, for people who haven't seen it yet, can you walk us through how you came up with this and what kind of response have you gotten from essentially your Dear White People video?
Yeah, man. Thank you for one, just bringing me on. The response has been amazing. So for those that are listening, dropped a video yesterday around 7 p.m., currently has over 2 million views across all platforms, 1.7 million views on my Twitter. And mind you, I only have, I guess now, 85,000 followers. And so this video hasn't just reached my following, but by the grace of God, the masses. Essentially, we've seen riots. We've seen looting. We've seen destruction. We've seen chaos. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I went to a private school, St. Mark's, an essentially all-white private school. And so in talking to so many of my white friends, they've had questions that they've been scared to ask. They've had questions that they don't have a safe space to ask. Questions like, I don't get why the riots. Why do black people think that rioting is going to lead to change? Questions like, why do y'all think white privilege still exists? Questions like, you know, but y'all only care about white on black crime, not black on black crime. And I wanted to, for once, give my white brothers and sisters a safe space to answer all of those questions. Because, gentlemen, I view it like this. I'm first-generation American, and so my parents coming from Nigeria, we didn't grow up in a household with animals. I didn't grow up with any dogs. I got attacked by a dog when I was younger. So as a 29-year-old man, I can't decipher between a dog that is dangerous and a dog that is friendly because I have no exposure to dogs. And if I can draw this parallel, in America, white people didn't really grow up around black people. And I'm not talking about one black friend. I'm not talking about a black person on your sports team, but a black community and a black culture. So it's prevalent that and apparent that white people are having a hard time deciphering between a black man who may be dangerous and a black man who just is black, a white man who may be racist, and a white person who is just white. And so I wanted to take the time on my platform to educate, because I truly feel like I can bridge the gap as I grew up white cultured, but through playing in the NFL and playing college football at Texas, I adopted and honestly am just a black person, so I know black culture. And that was it, my friends. That was it.
I wanted to ask you this question because this is a question that, you know, we've had with our producer before. I've asked some of my friends about this, and I appreciate the fact that you went out of your way to put this video out. Did you ever, before this time, at any point in your life, do you ever get exhausted by people like me who are like, hey, you're black. I need to ask you a question about black issues or black people, because I feel like I have done that plenty of times in the past. Does that ever get frustrating or exhausting? Or
that's one of the best questions I've heard. And I hope everybody's ears perk up when I say this and that nobody takes offense from this, but realizes the reality. Some of my black friends, they checked me. They were like, come on, Acho, how come you have to educate them as to how to assimilate into our culture, but nobody educated us as to how to assimilate into white culture? And I'll say to you what I told my black homegirl. I said this. We have to assimilate into white culture if we desire to live, thrive, and achieve the American dream. We have to. But white people, they don't have to assimilate into black culture, because if we're being honest, they don't need us anymore. Outside of sports and entertainment, if I can just look in the mirror and be very blunt, they don't need us being black people. They have gotten the juice out of the squeeze, if, again, we can just be honest. And now, that's not to say there is any guilt because of the sins of our ancestors or the sins of my white friend's ancestors. That is to state a fact. So with that being said, me as a black man understanding, if we are ever going to reach a resolution, gentlemen, I as a black man have to lay my hurt, my pain, and any anger and frustration aside and be willing to have a conversation with my white brothers and sisters that are willing to listen. Now, mind you, willing is the operative word there, because if you, Corey, or Kev, or anybody is willing to listen to me, then I have to find a way to mute my pain and my anger and be willing to talk to you, because that's the only way we'll have growth.
Yeah, that's that part that I believe, you know, in the first part of that video yesterday, I love the analogy of the bike ride. And
yes,
that's the static in the communication. Reggie and I have talked about it a couple times, and that's where either side can't get the right signal because they found a static that stopped the communication getting through. And I really liked that analogy. That was a great way to start that video off. And I can't tell you how many people, Emmanuel, I've seen retweeting that and commenting on it and saying, this is why. Like, this is exactly what we needed today. And I'm trying to wondering now what we're seeing, a lot of people have different, they have different arguments, and or they're diverting from what the actual point is. And at the moment, okay, well, they're protesting peacefully. Well, now they're rioting. And so when does this part say, okay, the message continues to be heard, but we got to do a little more to find a solution?
I'll say it like this. And again, we have to make it abundantly clear that no one condones rioting. I have to make it abundantly clear that a lot of people are just taking advantage of this situation. Now, with that being said, I'll say what I said in the video. When you look at grief, there are five stages, and one of which is anger. And again, anger doesn't often know how to express itself. Black people have tried peacefully protesting since the 1960s and the Civil Rights March and the movements. And then Colin Kaepernick and that agenda got moved to a flag. So I think now the riots are existing, the righteous riots, mind you. I'm not talking about just the nonsense that's going on. But some of the righteous action is taking place because it's kind of a cry for attention. Now, how do we need to have action, gentlemen? I'll say this, and I think this, actually, of anything I say, I wish this is heard. Action does not necessarily need to look active. Action doesn't necessarily need to look active. What I mean by that is we don't need to, like, storm Capitol Hill and demand legislative changes. We need to be passively willing to listen. That's my hope. We don't need to, like, it doesn't necessarily mean there needs to be active just demands being made, but rather I just desire that my white brothers and sisters are passively willing to listen and seek understanding and be like, you know what? I never thought about the fact that Acho has to wait to walk up to a mailbox if he sees a white person because he doesn't want to be perceived as a threat. I never thought about the fact of Acho won't make eye contact with the police officer because he doesn't want the officer to think he's giving him a bad look and now is perceived as a threat. I, as a white person, never thought about those things. And so when you ask me, gentlemen, and I'll conclude here, when you ask me, okay, Acho, what does change really look like? Change looks like understanding and educating so that the stereotypes will begin to be broken. If you push a water fountain and it hasn't been run for a while, the water will start being dirty. It'll come out dirty. But after a few seconds, it'll begin to be clean, but there'll still be some dirt. But after about 10 seconds, the water is fully clean. And that's what we'll see in society. Our society is still marred by racial inequality and stereotypes. But in about 20 years, the next generation, it'll be a little more clean and a little more clean. And gentlemen, finally, in about 60 years, hopefully it'll be fully clean.
Emmanuel Acho joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I'll tell you, too, as I was listening to that video yesterday, I did have a moment. I talked with my wife about that. When I'm out on a run, I feel weird running by women as a man. That's just that is a weird thing for me because I never thought about that before. But right now, more than ever, if it's 5:30 in the morning and I'm jogging, just as a man, I'm like, I'm probably creeping this woman out just because I'm a guy and I'm an imposing figure. So I understand a little bit of where you're coming from.
Let me tell you this. Let me interject if I may. Now think about how you feel in that situation and imagine that's every situation. For example, I saw two colleagues who were saying on Twitter about a year ago, you know, man, if you're on an elevator, please get off the elevator before us because, like, we don't know if you're following us or not. I'm like, dude, I'm already, as a black man, trying to make everybody more comfortable in my daily life. Now you're telling me, just as a man, to make everybody more comfortable. So that's just the heart that I wanted to pour out to people is, like, imagine I literally am calculating every move I make. And I'm not saying that for you to pity me. I'm saying that for you to understand, like, dang, I never realized that. I never realized that, Acho. And that's my goal, bro. The sooner we all understand each other, the sooner we move forward.
There's another thing, you know, my kindergarten teacher, my fourth grade teacher, my fifth and sixth grade teachers, all the way through high school, all black. And I've seen studies about, well, you know, there may be black kids that grow up and never have a black teacher, and how do they connect with this? How do they connect with that? And I say that to kind of point it to how important do you think it is for other white people out there to see white athletes speaking up about this moment?
Bro, to the utmost important. One of my dear friends, Dan Orlovsky, white analyst for ESPN, he reached out to me. Nick Foles called me this past weekend, Super Bowl MVP for the Eagles. Zach Ertz called me, Super Bowl winning tight end for the Eagles, because they're trying to figure out, hey, bro, how can I help you and what can I say? I understand that there are a lot of landmines as a white person because, man, if you say one wrong thing, it's over for you, especially in this day and age of sensitive media. But remember, I'll say this, and I hope that everybody who's listening hears me. It's not up to Emmanuel Acho to make this change, because the issue right now is racial inequality from white people to black people. It's up to Emmanuel Acho to hope that my white friends listen and they infiltrate communities and spaces that I never can. Because just because you're not racist or have racist thoughts and ideas doesn't mean your friend's not or your grandparents aren't. Remember, gentlemen, I went to a private school in Dallas, number one private school, St. Mark's. It wasn't until 1976 that the federal government mandated private education be integrated. It wasn't until 1968, I believe, in the South, that the federal government mandated that schools be integrated. This was when our parents were in school. This isn't some far-fetched thing. Like, this isn't ancient, hundreds of years ago that this was going on. And so that's really my sentiment is, like, I need white people to speak out, because white people will speak in spaces that Emmanuel Acho will never have the luxury of speaking in.
I just want to also point out, and Kevin, you may have another serious question to go with.
I do not.
I just wanted to point out Part of Your World is the best Disney song, as I saw your top five Disney songs recently, and that is my favorite one, especially when Halsey recently did it for the sing-along. That was amazing.
Oh, man, look, don't get me started on my top five Disney songs list. That can also be found on my Twitter, y'all listeners, but y'all going to be mad at me for that one.
Kevin?
Oh, man.
Well, we appreciate the time, and I have good news on the Twitter front. You said 85,000, and now it's up to 87,000. So the number keeps moving, and hopefully enough people will get to see that message.
Man, gentlemen, in all honesty, let me say this before y'all let me go. You all are the catalyst for change, because you all are the ones who are willing to reach out and bring me on your platform where you don't have to, and several people just want to talk about sports. But, gentlemen, you all are the ones who will bridge the gap and will lead to the change in our world. So don't underestimate for a second what a 12-minute radio interview I can do.
Absolutely. And just so you don't underestimate who I am as a human being, can I get a gig'em from you?
Absolutely not.
Okay, it's worth a shot.
Absolutely not.
It was worth a shot. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. We really appreciate it, man.
Gentlemen, be well.
Emmanuel Acho, formerly of the University of Texas, now with ESPN. Well, gentlemen, I thought that was an excellent quality conversation.
That's the best segment of the day.
Okay, better podcast.
That wins.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.